This is information that we've covered before, but we have some new people, and it's something that I always find I need to look at again, especially if I'm going through changes or difficulties in my life. And one of the things about the new thought, the metaphysical teachings, is a lot of times we deal with the laws, we deal with a lot of different things, and we study them. But the greatest textbook we have is really ourselves. And all the great teachers say, know thyself. Well, learning a new affirmation isn't going to help you know yourself. So if something's not working in your life, just to affirm something on top of it and leave the thing that's not working in our life anymore, it doesn't seem to work. It's asking us to move into alignment with our true nature. And if that thing that's causing us difficulty is not in alignment with our true nature, there's really no words we could throw at it. It really now requires that we do what needs to be done next, which is very scary for our social self, the one who grows up thinking, well, you got to do it this way. And everybody's life should look very similar. So Martha Beck wrote this book called Finding Your Own North Star. Finding it out for yourself, not based on what anybody else thinks, but what is your own North Star. And she discovered this with her own life. Her father was a Greek scholar, and he read to his children in Greek, Homer in Greek, and translated every line over and over again. And it was understood that if something is challenging, it is to be pursued. So she decided that even though when she sat down and would start coloring or drawing or anything, even from the time she was little, time just didn't exist anymore. But when it came time to choose what she was going to do with her life and go to college, she decided to study Chinese, which was the most difficult language she could pick up. Because she thought, if I could do this, I can do anything. So she would look at the little Chinese characters and study them and study them, and they would just go, whoop, all gone. And she swore that they were actually making up characters just to throw her off, and that they didn't exist. And somewhere behind a door, they were all laughing about this because she couldn't believe she'd ever seen these characters before. And she couldn't understand when she was writing her dissertation later on why she was so drained. Why every time she went into the classroom, she was so drained. What was going on with her? Now, we're laughing about it now, but a lot of times we put ourselves in a Chinese situation when we don't understand the language, we have no memory for it, and we wonder why we're not smarter, why we can't pull this thing off, and why we don't have any energy when we're trying to do it, and why we feel like we're really incapable of just about anything while we're trying to do it. And that is actually the voice of our authentic self. So it looks like she's self-sabotaging because she can't get this. It looks like she's doing something wrong when actually her authentic self is actually trying to move her over to what is interesting to her. She ends up becoming a life coach because of this. So nothing bad happened. She just discovered that trying to follow something that would please her father was not necessarily that have anything to do with what would please her. And that's very common, where we kind of run it through our little test of what would everybody else think, or what would mom or dad think. And mom and dad might not even be around anymore, but we're still running it through that little test. So as we move through life, we can stop and ask ourselves some very important questions that will reveal clues as to who we really are. And I actually remember doing this book like 12 years ago. And when I picked it up again just the other day, it was like, I am just so amazed that everything that I moved away from and everything that I moved toward was actually in my life now. And this was just written on a piece of paper. It wasn't an actuality at the time, but it is now. And she even says that. She says, if you allow yourself to visualize your best case scenario, you will find that it will actually pale compared to what is really going to come in. And she was right. But I'm sure when I read that back there, I said, yeah, right. But it's so important that we know who we are, to just be on a spiritual journey but not take the time to reflect on what is actually operating so close to us, which is that God within us, which is that authentic self, just trying to express fully through us and bring all the good stuff to us. But we can be so off because we've been so socialized that we miss it. And we live an opposite life of that. And we struggle, and it seems like it's so hard to get even a little bit of good into our lives. Now, that's not true of everybody sitting here. We all are paying attention more, and we are seeing the difference, and we are connecting the dots, as we say. But even in the midst of that, what's happening to us is we are continuing to evolve spiritually. We have to keep the lid off. We have to open up, because it doesn't stop. It keeps expanding us. It keeps moving us more and more into the truth of who we are. And we try to put a lid. It's like, good, I've arrived. Done and done. And some part of us says, no, not happening yet. You're here, right? Okay, then we're not finished. And that's what it is. So some of the things that really help us to understand who our authentic self is to understand when it's saying no in our lives. So when we have a lack of energy, and this is a really good thing, if we can't think about it right now, to look in the past, can you remember your low energy moments of your life? Who were you with, or what were you doing at those times? The real low energy. And sometimes it takes a little while to think about it, but it's like, when were you just felt like somebody poured lead over you? And you could affirm all you wanted that I have all the energy I need to accomplish this. And there was no energy there. The other one is that you felt sick. You always got a cold. Now, we do sometimes, just because of world belief, we do run into stuff. Or we may actually say, I know exactly. I took the hammer out and put it right down in my hand, and I know exactly how I hurt my hand. But sometimes that hurt, or that lack of feeling healthy, or that particular part of our body is really trying to say something. I remember once somebody so wanted me to audition for an acting position, and it was like I wasn't ready to do it, and they so wanted me to do this. And my back went out. Really went out for the first time in my entire life. I had made it through 48 years without my back going out, and my back went out. And I thought, this is what everybody's been talking about when your back goes out. But I wasn't putting two and two together. But what had happened was I had taken my essential, authentic self and just made it go and do something that it didn't want to do. And it said, we're not doing anything else after this. So I did go to the audition, but that was it. And I went to my first chiropractic appointment. And I didn't do that again. But I still really wasn't putting two and two together at that time, that that could be my actual authentic God self saying, you're moving away from your North Star. You're not moving in the direction of who you are. You're doing this for somebody else. And there's no support for you in doing that. So we become forgetful, like her with the Chinese characters. But what is it that no matter how hard we tried to study it in school, you couldn't get it? You studied it enough to get through the test, but if I asked you now about that geometry, could you do it now? Some of you are going to say yes, and that's because you had an intelligence for it. Others are going, oh no, I was always in that next remedial thing, or even in college, just to get through it, I had to always have a tutor with me. But the only reason I was doing it was to get through it. But I don't remember it. It was just a way of getting possibly to exactly what I wanted to do, but it was a required course. And it could be we forget names of people. We forget a lot of different stuff. Mistakes and blunders. We blurt out the wrong thing. We bump into stuff. We get hurt all the time. We have accidents, car accidents. When I was really off track, I hit myself in the head 3 times with the freezer door. I've never done that before or after. It's like, what is that about? Well, if somebody wanted to get your attention and you weren't paying attention, what would you do? Yeah, that's what I would do. And so I started noticing, if I look back on my life, yeah, you're right. Or when I was numbed out and just like in such distress driving to my design classes, one time I just ran right into the back of a car that was stopped in front of me. And I was like, what? Where am I? Who am I? What am I doing? But I was in such a fog. But again, another wake-up call. Bump on the head, bumper of a car. Do I need it bigger? I don't think so. That's enough. Social suicide. Again, we might do stuff that gets our social self in a lot of trouble. We might say something in front of a group of people that is totally the opposite of what they want to hear. And then all of a sudden you're ostracized by the group. That may look like self-sabotage, but it's not. It's actually self-support. It's moving you. This isn't your group. You need to be where you can say what you need to say. Fight or flight. You may feel as if you want to run away from your life, the situation, the family picnic, whatever it might be. Addiction comes from suppression of who we are. How could I possibly numb out very quickly? Well, I could eat a ton of carbs. I could drink a lot of this. I could do that. I could become a workaholic. I could do a lot of different things just so I can get away from thinking about this thing. And then depression, obviously. We have no energy. We're down. It seems like joyful people are an annoyance to us at this point, okay? They're hard to be around. So if you went through each one of these and you could say, I remember that, I can think of 2 or 3 samples of each one of those things in my past. And then you would circle the ones that stick out the most. That would be your worst case scenario for your life. Okay, does that make sense? And so as you read it, you'd say, you know, so when I tried to go back to my house after I was divorced and had to get stuff out of the house, I had absolutely no energy. So whenever I get back into old situations where there's a lot of tormentos and memories, it brings me down. So that would be my worst case. I had absolutely felt like lead, tried to pick up anything, clothing, anything. It's like, it all stayed. Because it meant it's time to just leave the past behind and move forward. Sick, backs going out. So I can think of all those things, and that would be my worst case scenario. Trying to make myself fit into something that isn't right for me is what it all comes down to. That's in every one of our lives. Because we actually do have a God self. We actually do have an authentic self. We actually do have an essential spiritual nature that's expressing here in this world. And we're either allowing it or blocking it. So how it says yes, we have high energy. All of a sudden we have high energy. Some of you have been around me dancing. I'm able to dance for 3 hours without stopping and feel no pain the next day. Not too long ago, if I did that, oh, my hip, my knees, everything hurts. I don't have the energy to do this. So releasing what isn't working opens up the energy that's already there. It's not creating new energy. There's not new energy coming in. We have all the energy we need right now. And we're either blocking it or allowing it. Does this make sense? Our health. We're not as susceptible to catching a lot of things that are going on because our energy is not down. Those two work together. We have improved memory. things come in and we remember stuff. It's like, oh yes, I remember your name is so-and-so and you did this and that. Or we have a super intelligence about certain things. So a long time ago, before I ever thought of even going into this, and then as I got into it, more and more people would walk up to me and say, oh, have you read so-and-so? Because that's exactly what they said. Or have you done this or have you done that? Have you read this, studied that? No, 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 no. I haven't. But I know it. Well, they said exactly what you said. Or after I give a talk, somebody will say, so-and-so said exactly what you said. Because I know that there's a universal consciousness, and we all actually have a super memory about it. We really do. We know all this stuff. We really do. It's not like there's a couple of masters out there that has this. We all have it. It's the universal mind. It's that consciousness. It's what we come from and what is still running through our lives. But we put a lot of other layers of stories on top of it. But then we also have a super intelligence about certain things. Like I said, Harry, he has the intelligence to understand electrical engineering. I do not. And I know, but I know one thing. I don't want to say anything bad about Harry when I want to continue talking because he knows how to turn this off. He'll shut me down. So you learn that it's okay that I don't have the same intelligence. Each one of us is filling a part of the picture, and that's really great. That's a wonderful thing. But when we don't follow our super intelligence and create a life that has nothing to do with it, we're going to start moving into the no column again, and we're going to feel all that stuff. I had a friend that if you talked about any old movie, she knew everything, not just about the movie, but who the costume designer was. Who knows that? Nobody knows that. She knew everything. Who did lighting? She knew everything. And she thought that was nothing. When in reality, if she was working in a field that that information was very important, it'd be like breathing to her. And she could be doing radio talk shows, and people would be incredibly interested in this. People that are interested in that. Time warp. What is it that when we're doing it, we lose all reasoning of time, that we're even aware of the time? It just seems to like go by. So somebody can sit down to write or play music or do design or do whatever they want, and time just goes away. It's just like, oh my gosh, the whole day is gone. It's dark now. I had all these other things I was going to do today, but your authentic self really was enjoying doing that thing, and it kind of just took over. Do you remember in school, though, when you were in that class you didn't like and they were teaching those things you didn't like, how often you looked at the clock? And how a minute seemed like months? And it's like, is this ever going to end? But then when you got in the class you did enjoy, it zipped by. Amazing. Emotional intelligence. We have a better and clear understanding of how to handle things when we're in alignment with our authentic self. We know when and what to say to certain people. We know what to say and do in our own lives. We have more emotional intelligence when we're in alignment with who we are. We don't get upset because somebody else believes something different than we do. That's huge. That's the difference between debating and living out of sorts all the time. Magnetic attraction. We're attracted to certain things. I might have mentioned this before, but if I was teaching design, when I was teaching it, if a student said they never picked up design magazines and they were trying so hard to learn design, I'd say, not going to happen. Just not going to happen. You should already be poring over those magazines in the checkout counter as opposed to the Enquirer. Or anything. Or Shape magazine. Anything. When you're passionate about something, you are just drawn to that something. Also, other people. You'll find that you have a magnetic attraction to certain people. that you're on the same page with those people. Your mood, naturally, when you hit all this stuff, is going to be very good, right? And a good mood is what most of us are trying to acquire. It's like, I just want to be happy. And so we walk around saying, nobody says, I just want to be miserable. But sometimes people design lives that's exactly the product of that life, all those choices. So part of our spiritual journey really needs to be self-reflection, self-understanding, what energizes this individual and what's draining it. And I got to follow that energy. And then as I follow it, I may realize that not everybody is on board with it. Not everybody's going to be on board with any changes I want to make. That means 6 billion people are not going to be in agreement with me. But that's not true. Because our everybody is probably about 8 to 10 people. And I had a dear friend the other night who said, as you look at your life and make decisions, check in with her, that authentic self, and make sure you know she's on board and how she feels. And don't worry about what everybody else says, including my good friend. I think that's the best caveat to put in there as counselors, as mentors, as friends, to say, I'll tell you what I think, but don't let that influence your decision at all. Because only we know, if we're reflective, what it is we're here to do, what part we bring in. But I think the most fascinating thing about this whole thing is that we cannot run a game on ourselves. I think that's incredible. That's like the best news ever. It really is. Because that means there's something in us we can't run a game on. And we keep walking around saying, I want to make a direct connection. That's where the connection is. It's right over there in that yes come. Thank you very much.